Good evening, everyone. Good to have you back again this evening. If you would, get a Bible and be ready to study along with us once again. Now, there was a time that we probably don't remember that even the basics of life were a challenge for us. And for those of you who are parents, you may remember, and some of you are going through it right now, when you watch their every move, because it seems like they were doing something new every day. They were infants. They were learning something new every day, accomplishing something new every day. And as they begin to grow, they begin to get a little bit more mobile. And so you started having to watch them a little bit more closely to make sure they didn't get into the things they weren't supposed to get into. But as you see that, you still follow them around and you do encourage them to take on those new challenges and to do those new things and accept those responsibilities as sort of proof that they are maturing. They're growing up. As infants, we had very little ability, of course, and we don't have a memory of most of that. But we needed help with even the most simple tasks. Like we couldn't even hold our head up by ourselves when we were very small. Our food was nothing but liquid, and we depended on somebody giving all of that to us. And then as we get a little bit older and at least able to hold our head up, we still can't sit up without a little bit of assistance. Food may be a little bit thicker, but we still don't have anything chewable. We don't have any teeth yet. After a while, we're able to sit up on our own, but not very well. I remember almost all of my kids at some point where they sit on the floor and you just watched them as they just slowly tipped over. Just make sure they got a nice soft landing. But then they started sitting up, and then they started crawling. They fell over less. They hurt themselves a little bit less. They began to crawl around, and then they pull themselves up on the furniture. Food gets a little bit more substantial. We start chewing before we swallow. And all of this is just a natural part of growing up. But they are also indicators. Indicators as we go along that we need some outside help when we're unable to do even the most simple things by ourselves. As you might guess, I'm not here tonight to talk about drooling babies and baby food and the diapers that come with them. What I'd like to talk about tonight for a few minutes is the fact, spiritually speaking, the help that we need in our spiritual walk. Tonight I want us to talk about learning to walk. Just like that baby who progresses from simply sitting to crawling and then attempts at walking. What we need to see as God's children, let's continue the theme that we talked about a little bit this morning. Let's see that we need our Father's help to lead us and to teach us the right way, so that just like that infant, at some point in our lives, we are able to take steps on our own without someone literally holding our hand and being there in physical presence to walk us in the right path that He's directed us to go. But even to understand that even those times, we're still needing to be led by Him and His instruction. Even that infant, when they grow up, may not need the hand of somebody else to lead them along, like we see in the picture here. But we are still walking by those principles that we learned at a very young age. Principles which still should guide us in our daily walk until we no longer walk this earth. So tonight I want to consider for a few moments the way in which God wants us to walk and how we must follow His lead. Accept His guidance as we do this. And as we are learning to walk, that is, learning to walk with God, I hope we understand by at least the end of tonight's lesson that that means that we should be striving to walk ever closer to Him so that our relationship is strengthened to Him. And so we're going to start off tonight by learning how God wants us to walk and what we must do to be able to walk in that way. And looking at these things, we will see that just like parents, God helps us when we are babes in Christ and continues to guide us as we mature and is always near even when we believe that we're walking on our own. We'll say on our own with the quotation marks because hopefully we understand that's never going to be the case, never alone. What we're going to see in reality is that that very thing, that God is always there with us. But He has given us the principles that we can walk in the right way and that we must remain walking in those principles if we are to be pleasing to God. Or as Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1, as he spoke about those in Thessalonica, that they were doing a very good job of doing, how they had learned how to walk and to please God. That's the kind of walk we're talking about tonight. And in looking at this picture of God's care for us as we are learning to walk, we will see how God cared for His people in their infancy, bringing them up in His Word and then parallel it with His care for us as babes in Christ. And by doing this, we will hopefully see that what God has done and is doing for us as we learn to walk and to please Him today. So let's look. Let's begin by looking back on how we are to walk. And let's go back and look at the example of the Israelites and see what He required of them. And it's a simple thing. I don't believe this is too far for them to understand. It's not too hard for us to understand. What God has always wanted of His people is to walk in His ways. In Deuteronomy the 5th chapter, if you would turn with me in your Bible. And here, God is speaking to them through Moses, and what Moses tells the people, therefore you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. Now, of course, what we are talking about here is walking in a way that essentially we are becoming more like Him every day. This is what God has required of His people always. To walk in the ways of the Lord simply means to walk in the ways that He desires us to go and to become as He is. And since God is holy, He has commanded His people in Leviticus 11, verse 44, be holy, for I am holy. That means we are to walk in a way that we become holy. Since He is love, that means that we need to become like Him, and so on. We can go through all those characteristics of God. But when Moses spoke to the Israelites in this text, he commanded them to walk in the ways of the Lord that they might live a life that reflected righteousness and the holiness of God. Their history, though, we know, is one that was filled with sin and behavior, not just like the nations around them, but in fact, more evil than the nations around them. Those that He had removed from the promised land before they even settled into the land. And we read about this in 2 Chronicles 33 and verse 9. They eventually got to the point where they were doing things even those people had not done. They were no longer walking in the ways of God. As a parent, I can understand, certainly, the desire of God for His children to be as He is. It's an awesome responsibility to raise a child in a way as to continue the good reputation of your name, if you have one. And that's important as parents to understand that your children are going to follow your example. probably more than just your words. It requires of us constant and consistent instruction so that the desired result ends up happening. It's not something that we wake up one morning and all of a sudden our kids are doing everything we want them to do. It takes instruction all along the way, and that's exactly what God has given to his people. The instruction he gave them step by step, if you will, under the old law, about how they should live in a way that would produce righteousness and holiness. It's because he wanted them to uphold his holy name. That when someone looked at the people of God, they would say, well, these are God's people because they are upholding his name in righteousness and holiness. And as we know in their history, sometimes he had to discipline them that they might continue to walk in his ways. But let's understand that there are results if we do exactly what God said. Go back to verse 33 of Deuteronomy chapter 5. When he said that you walk in the ways of God, he said, you'll do this that you may live and that it may be well with you and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. Now, he's not simply saying you're going to have a good long life. He's going to say, I will continue to be your God, is what he's saying. I will continue protecting you and giving you victory over your enemies. I will continue to watch over you. To Joshua, when he took over the leadership after Moses had died, in Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 and 7, the words are simply repeated to Joshua, very much similar to what we just read in Deuteronomy chapter 5. That is, if they did not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, and this is verse 7, that you may prosper wherever you go. So if you just you keep following the ways that I've given you, you're going to prosper wherever you go. The promise was, as he said in verse 5, that I will be with you and I will not leave you nor forsake you. I don't know about you, but I consider that a great benefit. To have God on our side. To know that our Father is always going to be with us, even as he's given this instruction. As we look back at the Israelites and their history, to know that whatever failings they had was not because God wasn't there to help them. But we also need to see that it was conditional. Turn with me over to the 11th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 11, let's begin reading verse 22. Again, he outlines it very clearly. There will be benefits if you do this. Verse 22, Deuteronomy chapter 11, he said, if you carefully keep all these commandments, which I command you to do, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to hold fast to him, then the Lord will drive out these nations from before you, and you will dispossess greater and mightier nations than yourself. Now listen to this. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river to the river Euphrates, even to the western sea, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand against you. The Lord your God will put the dread of you and the fear of you upon all the land where you tread, just as he has said to you. Now that's a pretty solid guarantee right there. And that's some great benefits. But I want you to notice, let's back up to verse 22 again, and notice that little two-letter word. If. You carefully keep those commandments. You see, it's always been conditional. But he wanted to bless them. He wanted to provide for them in a way that nobody else could provide. Nobody could guarantee this. But he placed conditions on those blessings and provisions. And that was they had to walk in his ways. Again, what we're talking about here is walking in a way that is called worthy. Now, I want us to understand when we talk about this, and let's just jump over to the New Testament now. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, where really chapter 4 all the way into 6, sometime when you're doing your study of this book, notice in this section how many times he uses the word walk, where he is really giving instruction about how we are to live. And one of the first things he says in this section, in chapter 4, Ephesians, of the book of Ephesians, chapter 4 and verse 1, he said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Now, I know that's a scary word sometimes for us to read in the Bible because we've been conditioned to think, well, we're not worthy. Now, I want us to understand the word that may be more appropriately translated is the word appropriately. He wants us to walk appropriately. That's what he's talking about. He's not saying, I want you to walk away acting as if you are worthy of all these rewards. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, I want you to walk appropriately. In other words, as is fitting for someone who wears the name of the Lord. That's what he's saying. Keep your finger there and turn over to the book of Colossians in chapter 1, verse 9. He says here, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And here's where I want us to pay attention, verse 10. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. There he gives us kind of an explanation of what it means to walk worthy or appropriately. That's what we're talking about. God wants us to walk appropriately in a way that is fitting for someone who wears the name of the Lord. That is, one that is going to bring glory and honor to his name and also in a way that refrains from walking in a way that is going to bring reproach upon that name. Now, let's not confuse the word worthy as in appropriately with the word as in deserving. That's not what we're saying, and I hope we understand that. So, what is it? What is it that's appropriately? Well, he goes on to explain a little bit. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4. When he said that they would walk worthy of the calling with which you're called, what does that mean? Verse 2, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's what he asked. That's what it means to walk appropriately. And again, if we jump back over to Colossians 1, let's read verses 10 and 11 again, where he gives us a better understanding of what it means. Fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long suffering with joy. Now the appropriate walk also includes a life which produces something. Lack of production shows really a lack of life. A child of God who is producing nothing is in danger of being cut off. Jesus uses in John 15, the picture of a branch and the vine. And we as the branches on the vine, if we're not producing fruit, he said he cuts off and we're thrown into the fire. Now we understand this principle in physical life. If we saw a child who at age 3 was about 3 feet tall, we might not think anything about it. We might say, as parents, we kind of do this sometimes when our kids get a certain age. We think, are they going to be this big? Are they going to be tall when they get bigger? And we've even got it figured out. I think there's some rule of thumb, but by age 2, you take their height and you double that, and that's what they're going to be when they grow up. So we're trying to figure all these things out. We go to the doctor. We weigh them. If at 3 years old, they're about 3 feet tall, we might not think anything about that. We think, well, I think that's normal development. They're just about right. But if 15 years later we see that same child and they're still 3 feet tall, how long is it going to take you to figure out that something's not right there? Well, do we think about that in spiritual terms? If we see someone that we know is a babe in Christ, they've been a babe. Let's say they've been a Christian for 3 years. We know and we understand, we expect that they're not going to know everything. But what if we see them 15, 20 years later and they still have that basic knowledge? They haven't grown in the faith. They haven't gotten any stronger. Do we notice? I mean, sometimes we just kind of skip over that as like an old well. Don't we see that something's not right there? Why do we not recognize the lack of spiritual growth? There's something that's a lot more serious sign than if we saw someone even physically underdeveloped. Let's not ignore things like this. This walking worthy and appropriately means growing, not just staying a babe in Christ. We don't expect a physical babe to stay the same size all their life, and neither should we, spiritually speaking. So how are we able to walk? How are we going to get to this point where we become like God? Because we all know, I probably don't have to tell anybody here tonight, but we'll touch on it, but I don't think I have to tell anybody here tonight that when we start out, we are so far away from being like God that we might even think, I don't even know if that's possible. How can I get to be more like Him? How can I get as close to being like Him as possible? Well, let's just use the physical analogy tonight. Let's just make the parallels. They're a very simple lesson tonight about looking at the physical side and then comparing it to the spiritual. In the beginning, as an infant, that child, again, has very little capabilities to do anything on their own. Again, the newborn can't even sit up on their own, much less move around without someone carrying them. You know, I can speak for my wife, the number of years she had a baby on her lap, working in the kitchen or walking around the house, and at the end of the day, when she finally got to sit the babies down, she would do this, lean over and try to rub her back because it was very wearing. She had to carry him around all the time. Now, she didn't have to, but she loves her kids, and that's what you do as parents. Well, what about the babe in Christ? What happens there? Well, new converts to the truth and the new life of following after Christ, the babe in Christ is also in need of guidance, if you will. The knowledge to be able to overcome temptations and knowledge of how they are to walk is not yet in them. And it's for that reason that Peter gives the admonition to, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. They need to desire that word so that they can grow. And without that desire for the word and the proper application of what is available, that babe will not grow and will remain immature in the faith. And so we need to understand that as those who are a little bit more mature. And we need to make sure that they are guided in the right way, carefully instructed in the word, to help put within them, if we can, that desire for the word so that they can know how to walk. Using the examples of those who have already walked as their pattern. Because I guarantee you that baby is watching you as a parent. And they see you walking around. I remember my oldest son, before he could walk, he was very frustrated because he wanted to be as mobile as the rest of us. And I would watch him watch us walking around. And he would just be bouncing over there, just trying to get going with them. He wanted to go, and I loved seeing that because it told me he had that desire to do it. And here's the boy, I'll just tell you right now, he never learned to walk. And he might be saying that, was there something wrong with him? I said, no. And you can ask anybody who saw him growing up that age. He never learned to walk. He just started running right from the get-go, which meant a lot of falls face forward, but that's just what he did. But we liked seeing that because we knew that there was that desire in him. He wanted to grow. He wanted to get to that next step. Well, just as those formative years of the infant are important to the baby, so it is with the babe in Christ. We need to be showing them the right way at a very young age. Parents, train up your children in the way that they should go, Proverbs 22, verse 6, so when they are old, they will not depart from it. In other words, we show them the right way, that appropriate way that we've been talking about, that walking worthily. And so we make sure that we do that as the ones who are more mature in the faith. Let's just not ignore them. Let's not just say, okay, we baptize them now, let's move on to the next one. Let's give them the instruction and the guidance so that they can walk in the right way and they will be the strongest and the most mature Christian as they get older. And of course, before you get to the walking, you have to do some crawling, the baby, of course. This is a point in their life where this greater desire to move around starts increasing. And so they begin trying to crawl, and this is where they may get around a little bit, but not very well, limited to how fast and how well they move around. Well, it's going to be the same way for a babe in Christ. Again, at this point, they should have within him a desire to be around the Word more often, to get around the Word on their own. So deeper searches into the Word are going to be taken on, and more important questions are going to be investigated. But help is still going to be required here. That's where we are still necessary, those who are more mature. Let's realize the limitations of their own abilities and capabilities and knowledge. And let's help them that they might gain that better understanding and a foundation which, if laid correctly and carefully, will stand as the building block for all their future knowledge and spiritual life. And it's here that they need to start learning the principles of God's Word so that later in life, when they have to make those hard decisions, they have the principles as to why they do what they do. Not just the "I said so," but the principles about why this is necessary. Parents, please don't do this to your children. When they ask you about, "Mom, Dad, why do we do this?" That's the time to start giving them the answers to the why, the principles, why we do what we do, not just because I said so. That's not going to inspire them to spiritual maturity. Here's where we give them the principles, so that later when they are on their own, and they have to make those hard decisions because we are not around, they will not be looking for a single passage that says here, it says, "Thou must not do that." They will have learned the principles of God's Word that teaches them in the right way so that they can make the appropriate choice. Well, of course, then they start taking those first steps, the baby, of course. This is a point that brings about, I believe, just about the most anxiety to the parents when they're little. They start taking those steps and they start walking around a little bit more efficiently than crawling. But even though the desire is there, the ability is not quite there just yet. And so we hold them by the hand, help them around a little bit, hold on, let them hold on to our fingers as they try to take those first steps. And so they stumble often. They fall many times. Occasionally they hurt themselves. But none of it causes them to quit wanting to learn. It may cause them to cry, but this is a point where sometimes they just bounce off the floor and get back up and try again. There's some good principles there that we need to see on the spiritual side. As the new convert begins to go out and do and teach or learn with a desire sometimes greater than the ability, it's important at this point that in the new convert's life that they are not discouraged from doing that. Please listen to me on this. Because I heard it as a young babe in Christ myself. I heard other people discourage new converts when they were at this point in their life. And all I could think of was, please don't do that. Please don't get up there and say, when you get this babe in Christ that wants to go out there and do more for the Lord, "Oh, we've already tried all that." Or, "Nobody listens anymore. Don't do any good." Please don't do that to your ones who are trying to get out there and have this desire. They may not have the ability just yet. But as long as they've got that fire in them that says, "I want to go out there and do the most for the Lord," friends and brethren, we need to be encouraging them to do that, not discouraging. Just like that baby, though, the new convert is sometimes going to stumble too. May fall occasionally. But this should never discourage the new convert from new efforts and future efforts. It should never be something that we remind them, hey, look how many times you fell. Did you do that to your baby when they started walking? Did you walk around, follow, and tell them, hey, you fell 26 times yesterday. Why don't you just give up? I can't imagine a parent ever doing that, can you? But you know we do that, spiritually speaking. We see someone fall. We see them go out and try to do something for the Lord and try to teach a friend of theirs, and we see them fail, and we're right there to tell them, yep, you sure did. You sure failed. See, I told you. Why do we do that? Let's encourage them. Let's show them you can get back up and you can try again. There's another lost soul out there that you can try to reach. Let's encourage them. And it doesn't matter how lazy others might be, or how insensitive, or how tactless, or how many times our faith is attacked in efforts to discourage us, or even how many times we face difficult temptations that will hinder our walk. Let us never be the cause for any of those things. Let us be the ones who instead rather encourage them, as John says here in 1 John 2 and verse 6, to walk as he walked. To keep pointing them to fix their eyes on Jesus. And if they happen to fall when they're out there trying to do what the Lord wants them to do, even though they don't have that ability just yet, you be there with them. Let's be there with them. And let's pick them up by the arm and let's say, Jesus, let's keep looking at him. And let's try it again. Let's never be the source for discouragement. And this walking alone, you know, eventually when the baby has finally learned to walk, no longer in need of assistance, they are on their own. I'm going to say on their own because you kids right now, whoever happens to be listening and comprehending what I'm saying, your parents are not ever not thinking about you. Let me just tell you that. I've got a 23-year-old out in Arizona that I think about all the time. And probably will till I'm 50. He's 50. If I'm still around. You never stop thinking about your children. When they're infants, you're thinking about them as they're walking you. They may not be in your sight, but you're thinking about them. Because you love them. You care for them. And even those times where you know they're headed toward falling flat on their face, you know how hard it is to step back and let them go through it? Because that's just a part of life. But we know that it's going to help them in the long run to become better in their walk and being eventually able to run and do even more. It's no different with the babe in Christ. The babe in Christ has matured to the point that they're on their own. Then they're able to go out into the world and stand and without calling on one another for every little thing. They become skilled, as the Hebrew writer would say in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 through 14, in the word of righteousness and able to discern between good and evil. They've matured in the faith, and now they can do some deciding and some thinking on their own and figuring out on their own. Because they've been diligent in the word, they're able to rightly divide it. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Their walk is independent in that God is not figuratively holding their hand. But they're still dependent in that they're walking by those principles that they learned when they were a babe in Christ. That's why that point was so important in their life and is that we must never overlook that. Those principles that guided them back when they were just barely walking are the principles that guide them today, one foot in front of the other. God is still leading us, but now he's leading us in principle. And when we have learned those principles and are able to apply them in our lives without the assistance of another, it is then that we have learned how to walk and to please God. And that is our aim, to get there. So how do we acquire that ability? How do we get that ability to walk in that way that is pleasing to God? Well, just like with the baby, repeated efforts, the natural abilities of the body to walk. Our body is built in a way such as to allow this baby to eventually walk upright. Now, they can't do it at first. Their bone structure will just not allow it. But God designed the human body in that way to, over time, gain that strength. Bones straighten out, strengthen a little bit more. Muscle is built up, and so they are able to do that. They're able to walk upright, and they exercise, and they get strengthened. But those muscles get strengthened by use. And it is that use that will eventually allow the baby to walk and then run. Well, again, it's no different with the babe in Christ. Initially, the ability to walk in the right way is not in the new convert because the knowledge is not there. Not that the desire is lacking, but the knowledge and the ability. And so God will guide even the babe in Christ in the right way, giving all the ability to slowly, as Peter says it, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But that desire has to continue to be there, or there will be no growth. God's grace has revealed to us through His Word the paths of righteousness in which we must walk. And so now it is up to us, with a desire to grow, to make the Word a part of our lives and in the lives of those around us, so that we all may grow thereby. And so let us do that. Let us learn to walk in the right way, fully pleasing to Him. Though we may have forgotten this, learning to walk was a slow progression. None of us were born walking, and none of us picked it up immediately. And so we must remember it is no different for the babe in Christ. Learning to walk is an important part of the Christian life, because if we do not walk in this way, we will most likely be standing still, not growing. If we walk in other paths in which the Lord is not directed, it will be a detriment to our soul and we will not reach the intended destination. But how about you this evening? Are you walking in the ways of the Lord pleasing to Him? If not, we plead with you to begin following Him tonight. If you believe the gospel message that teaches us that Jesus is the Christ and Son of God, we plead with you to begin your walk with Him tonight. Jesus Himself said, as He sent the apostles to go out into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. If you want to begin your walk, that is where you begin. And please take that first step tonight. If I need to literally hold your hand, I will do that. But I want you to begin walking with the Lord tonight if you haven't already. And maybe you've already taken that first step. Maybe you've been walking with Him for a while, but you've allowed this world to distract you and get you on the wrong path. It's time to get back on the right path with the Lord tonight. Maybe you've got sin in your life that you need to take care of tonight. Don't wait another minute. Don't wait until tomorrow. We don't even know if we have tomorrow. You might be here tonight, you just need the prayers of this congregation for help in some way. But whatever your need, will you come as we stand and sing?